Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on our podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast, where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan!
And I'm an unlikable douche.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering BattleBots Season 4, Week 4! And someone's salty because he's been on Reddit for the first time in 2 weeks.
Hmm. I guess, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I've literally said on this podcast before that I can maybe come off as a bit of a dick sometimes with the way that I talk about things.
And we're going to start off with a little bit of announcement of some of the other matches that we won't be able to see as we cover the next 3 episodes in this taping. So we'll start with the Lightweight Championship, where we get to the round of 32, which I think we've done before, but just in case we haven't. So we didn't manage to see Serial Box Killer defeat Locomotion. We didn't see Tenta Mushi defeat General Gao.
Yeah.
We didn't see Salad defeat UGV Scorpion. Yes, we have done this round before, because I remember struggling to say Her Gepounden versus Rambite, with Rambite coming out ahead. Death by Monkeys defeating Skidmark.
Yeah.
Pursuer knocking out the defending lightweight champion, Dr. Inferno Jr.
And that's not on television.
So it's weird. Someone who wasn't the defending champion in their weight class gets billed as the defending champion, and they show his really stupidly short match, but Dr. Inferno doesn't get his chance.
I don't understand this. Like, there are some fights that are in this cluster of episodes that we're doing where I was like, this is boring. Like, you couldn't have, like, at least put in, like, because this is the one thing, like, with this season, it's like, I don't know why, but I think we were both kind of talking about this, like, off mic. It's not grabbing our attention as much as other seasons are, but there are parts of it that are genuinely kind of exciting and kind of shocking, like some we'll get to in the coming episodes. But it's just there's some weird decisions that they make for battles that make it to TV, and having your former light heavyweight champion, well, it was current at the time, light heavyweight champion be defeated, and you don't see that on television, that's bonkers to me.
Speaking of which, I'll just run through all of these. Well, I'll run through 2 of these for the Big B. Now, we'll get to the Big B next week, because it turns out, because the 2 of us were like, oh, that's a real show for Big B. I wonder who they are. It's Gary fucking Jim.
Yeah, you know, legend of the sport.
No!
The granddaddy of the sport, I think they call him.
Mr. Jin, we beg forgiveness. We did not know. Have mercy on us. Do not barbecue us.
And an interview, if possible. That would
be
great.
Yes, please. We'd love to have you. we can talk about the time you defeated Gamma Raptor. That sounds like a brilliant match.
Yeah, we could talk about it because we won't get to see it, so like you could just explain it to us.
We didn't get to see Dasbot defeat Bulldog. We didn't get to see Hexie Jr. defeat Trilobot. And we didn't get to see Backlash defeat Junkyard Dog. In fact, we don't see Backlash at all, as it loses to Hexie Jr. in the next round.
I was literally like, I was thinking that. See, when a nightmare cropped up in this set of episodes, it's like, who the hell's Backlash? Like, yeah. Backlash probably genuinely one of my favorite robots. It was the reason why I got it for Christmas, but I asked for it for Christmas. I got one of those build your own Backlash things. And they're like, I built it and I was proud of it. It's like, yeah, there's a reason why I asked for this one. Backlash is awesome.
We don't see Low Blow being defeated by Carnage Raptor. We don't see the Big B defeat Das Bot. We don't see Death by Monkeys defeating Pursuer. Salad defeating Rambite. Have we seen the second Slap 'em Silly Man? No, that's this week that we see that.
Yeah, versus so, Afterthought.
Do you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to spoil it because I don't give a fuck anymore. We don't see We do see Slap 'em Silly defeat Afterthought, which we'll get to because that match I have feelings about.
Yes.
We then don't see the Big B defeat Slap 'em Silly. We don't see Carnage Raptor defeat Hexie Jr. And we don't see in the semi-final the Big B defeat Carnage Raptor. Meaning that the Big B has taken out two Raptors.
Mm.
We also don't see Death by Monkeys defeat Salad. So,
Salad was a big name last year.
So just to make this clear, all of the lightweight matches we've got left, one of them, which we cover in this week's episode, I believe...
Yep.
Is Slap 'em Silly versus Afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
Every other match we've got left is a Ziggo match.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then even to a point, I think like Ziggo ends one episode and then starts the other. And so because we're, let's see, I'm just having a quick gander. Yeah, I think like maybe not like ends one and starts the other, but like
no, it does, it literally. I think it does it twice, in fact.
Yeah, I think like in the span of like two episodes, there's three Ziggo matches.
And in the span of the first five episodes, there are five Ziggo matches. Which now, just to make this clear, not shitting on Ziggo, fabulous robot.
Ziggo definitely deserves to be showcased as much as possible.
But when Big B can win seven matches and be
none of them make TV.
Quite bluntly, apart from its final match.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, the only match it gets shown on is it facing off against, spoiler alert, Ziggo.
And for the championship.
And they don't even have the decency to build up the Big B.
No, it's just like, well, it's championship time, here we go, and it's like,
it's
here's
the robot
Big
we
B.
have featured extensively on the show, and this other robot.
Like, could you not have at least just shown both semi-final matches to be like, okay, right, oh, I remember that robot from last week when it beat blah blah blah.
Exactly. Was it even just that?
One of the Raptors, you know, just end it like because, like we said, like in these next like three episodes that we're covering, I think Ziggo fights like four times. Could you not just take one of those matches out and replaced it with the Big B semi-final
times.
Match?
I think it's three times. I think we see every Ziggo match.
Yeah, and again, not shitting on Ziggo. Ziggo absolutely deserves to be showcased as much as possible. It just makes no sense that we're literally going into a championship final with a robot we have literally never seen or heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no, tell a lie. There is one match. They basically in the background go, oh, and this robot lost to the Big B.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Because like last year, did they not do like a highlights package of, oh, here's some of the other
matches
that have been going on. Right. And then they showed like a cluster of clips from five matches, and then they don't do that this year.
I'm actually going to skip up. Right. So, This is what I don't like about this series of BattleBots. Robotica, even when there is not contests happening on screen, it's engaging, it's interesting, it's going into detail, it's explaining what's happening, it's going, this robot, this is how we built that robot, this is what it does. Robot Wars, I still think, is until the more recent series of BattleBots,
mm-hmm.
I genuinely think Robot Wars has been, in terms of the quality of the show, maybe not the robots, but the show, is the best robot show in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, even like to piggyback off my own comment from a minute ago, it seemed as if BattleBots had it right in season 3,
mm.
and they just threw all of that out the window for this season, because this season is all over the place.
It's all over the place. They don't explain what's happening in the tournaments. Every single show has 3 or 4 cutbacks to Carmen and Electra saying nothing.
Yeah, there's literally one time where they throw it to Carmen and Electra, and it's clearly, it's meant to be she can hear them throwing it to her, and then it's just she says something completely, different than... It's like, oh, Carmen Electra, how is it down there on the floor? I'm here with the people watching Robotica. It makes me horny.
Yeah. Anyway. I mean, it could be worse. They could be saying that a robot that isn't the defending champion in the weight division it's in is the defending champion in its first match. As Son of Way actually is fighting the super heavyweight division. Why is it fighting the super heavyweights instead of the heavyweights? If you watch the show, you wouldn't have a fucking clue.
Yeah, because this was all backstage hoopla because they had to change the weight divisions.
Well, what happened was Son of Way actually being a shuffle bot was treated as a walker bot in Series 3,
mm-hmm.
or Season 3.0. What then happened was Son of Waiachi, despite barely being maneuverable, destroyed everything in its path in the heavyweight division because its weapon was insanely overpowered for the time.
Mm-hmm.
Still would be still a devastating weapon now. Tells you all you need to know. That robot still wins matches now, 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you can't argue with the design.
At the same time, the other thing that happened is you had Drillzilla in America that, again, had because it was a walker robot, it got massive weight advantages, which meant that they could have armor so powerful, even Razor couldn't crush it.
Yeah.
And what happened
can't pierce your robot, you're doing something right.
And what then happened is... by the sound of it, loads of roboteers went, that's not fair. These robots do not have the speed disadvantage that comes with a walking robot. They're obviously light. There's enough. The shufflebot system is obviously light enough that they don't have to do the same level of compromise.
Yeah, because there is a distinct difference between a shufflebot and a walking robot. Look at Chomp from one of the more recent seasons. That's a very slow, very distinct walking robot.
Yeah.
But if that Chomp had the shuffling technology of Drillzilla or Son of Waiachi, that thing would be an absolute menace.
So anyway. All this to skip over and say, so Son of Waiachi, which is now a super heavyweight because they've changed the weight classification for shufflebots.
Yes,
I'm just going to have a quick look here. This is Son of Waiachi's first match. It's facing Swirly, which is a full body spinner. And, Son of Boy actually explodes.
It was a cold open, essentially. It was like, oh, we're here at BattleBots. Our first match is already in the arena. Here we go. Boom, 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 boom. And then Son of Boy actually just literally takes off like a helicopter.
And yeah, as I said, no explosion of how Son of Boy actually is in the super heavyweight. What's going on? And yeah, it just explodes.
Yeah, that's literally my one line is Son of Boy actually blows up and it's dead. Moving on.
Pretty much.
Carmen interviews Team Waiachu after the match, and they said, well, at least it looked cool.
Credit to them. At least, do you know what? The Son of Waiachu team knows more about presentation and presenting themselves than the entire BattleBots organization has this series.
Yeah. Ooh, I mean, I was like really excited when, because you had obviously watched this episode before me, and it's like, well, the ending is, the beginning is very, a very explosive start, and I was like, when I seen these two line up, I was like, oh man, this is going to be cool, like the two of them are just going to collide in the middle of the arena, and it's going to be like that nightmare match. Where it just knocks him out in one blow, and it's like, well, I wasn't wrong. It's just Waiachu blew itself up in one blow.
So anyway, they then do another Carmen Electra segment immediately after, and I remember sitting going, "Is this the best take?" Well, the whole time, now, this is something I'm very sensitive to because obviously I edit 3 podcasts every fortnight. 2 mm-hmm. episodes of this, 1 episode of my art. So, one of the things I am very sensitive to is ums and ahs, because loads of people, anyone who says, oh, your podcast always sounds more professional than I expect, that's because I spend 2 hours every week editing out ums, ahs, and all that, because it annoys me.
I know. Like, I don't, obviously I don't do editing as much anymore. There's an there.
one pointed it out.
I know. Obviously I didn't do it as much, but like, say for example, like that interview that I did with Andrew Lindsay, it took me, I had to sit down about 3 times to get through that, because just hear me go, like before every question, because I was so nervous about doing an interview on my own, and I was just like, I am so sick of not only hearing my own voice, but then just me going to the point that I realized it was the same cadence every single time, so I could just look at the audio file and find that same shape every time and just click to it and then take it out.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same. I recognize.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually recognize our ums and ahs.
I know. I feel like sometimes you can get away with a couple of them, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's also one other thing I will say. Sorry, just to make this clear, this episode's gone off the rails. So if you're still with us, fair play.
We've spoken about one match that lasted 12 seconds.
Yeah, we're 2 minutes into the episode. Anyway, shall we talk about our BattleBots? So we have, now we don't get Dr. Inferno Jr., you know, the defending lightweight champion. Nope. But we do get, in the super heavyweight category, the Towering Inferno.
Mm-hmm. God damn it. Now it's been pointed out. I'm fucking self-conscious.
You're okay, yeah,
Towering Inferno. So, it's like two stingers put together and then painted red, but it just looks like a giant red nutsack.
It basically, it's if someone took Stinger and, you know, when in Microsoft Paint, you could stretch out your picture so it was like 150 times, it was like 150% size.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it looks like someone's done that with Stinger and then stuck some hammers on it.
It's like, it's got that picture of Stinger. Yeah. And yeah, hammers. It's, I mean, it's a pretty cool robot. I kind of like it, to be honest. It doesn't last long, as its opponent, Mechavor. Yeah.
That's what happens when you face Mechavor. Actually, I'm going to double check. Is this... Mechavor is definitely... is Mechavor heavyweight or super heavyweight?
Is that under the impression this was a super heavyweight?
No, Mechavor... No, this is a heavyweight match.
Ah.
They're just two big heavyweights. That's all it is.
Yeah. So, it's like, I want to know what the kind of setup of Towering Inferno is, because it comes in and... Mechavor slices a perfect section of the wheel of Tower Inferno off, like, right away. And it looked as if, like, you know, these things could be disassembled in a certain way. And so it's like, are they all sectioned? Like, these bits, are they all sectioned and then all the stuff is in the middle triangle bit? Very a la Stinger. That's partly why I made the comparison.
Basically, what seems to happen is it looks like the wheel is made up of kind of segments that then gets stuck onto the axle. Which then means if one of them then... if one of them then comes off, yeah, it does completely and utterly
screw them. It stops becoming a wheel.
Yeah. And, yeah, the match does not last long. I mean, literally, Mechavor, it breaks one of the hammers, it breaks the wheel.
The wheel segment.
And then
it attacks the wheel segment.
Yeah. And then suddenly, Mechavor's weapon itself starts to conk out. But it doesn't matter because Towering Inferno is already dead.
Yeah, it's just flailing in the corner like when you pull legs off a spider.
Yep.
Not that I ever do that because spiders terrify me and I don't want to go anywhere near them, but absolutely. I would assume any bug, if you pull like half the legs off of it and then watch it before it dies, it'll just obviously go round in a circle.
Absolutely.
This is the other thing that to go with the weird setup of BattleBots these days is this season, as we've just probably discussed before, is they like to do bits now.
So we do a bit talking about heels and BattleBots, and then it's like, oh, we just don't like these teams. And generally, we don't like these teams because they're good. It's not like. In more modern times, I could actually kind of go, nah, fair.
Yeah, I hate anybody that's better than me. That's why I hate most people.
Yeah, it's just a bit... It is just bizarre in terms of... Yeah, we get this segment where it's about, oh, heels and... It's not even like, you know, the Hydra team or Ray Billings... Where they know that they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing into it. No, it's just, oh, you made a good robot. How dare you? I mean, it is
what
literally,
a blaster.
It is literally, you're taller. How fucking dare you?
And then more so the bit that I'm referring to is the build up to the slap 'em silly bit where it's like, oh, the internet. Oh, you can get anything that you want from the internet. All you need to do is type it in and it will be delivered to your house. You can get bread, a cute cat, or a killer robot. And it's like, well, Slap'em Silly isn't exactly a killer robot. I could probably beat Slap'em Silly in a fight.
Yeah.
Okay, that's actually quite a bold a bold statement, but if Slap'em Silly, if you're listening, I'll fight you.
That's a very brave thing to say.
the main event of
so no, anyway,
the main event of Robo Nerd next year.
Anyway, we're running out.
Comes all the way over.
We're running out of time now. So Slap'em Silly takes on Afterthought, which Afterthought looks really good. It's a four-wheel drive robot. It's got a spinning disc at the front, which looks really effective until you realise it's made out of tin foil.
Yes.
It's basically
tin foil.
It's basically... Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Warhead's weapon, except
yeah.
Warhead's weapon works.
Warhead was a competent robot.
So, I will give Afterthought credit for one thing. It's still going.
Uh-huh.
After 3 minutes, during which the halter built wire... is having an orgasm because it's like because Afterthought is getting naked.
Yeah, like there was one point where Bill Dwyer says, "Oh yeah, like Slap'em Silly is a very well designed robot." And it's like, yeah, it was designed by somebody fucking else. This kid just bought it off the internet. Like he's done absolutely nothing in terms of the design.
He's done good stuff with the. To be fair, he's done a good job with the. With the driving, he is a quite effective driver.
Yeah, well, they kind of ask him. I think it's after the fight they ask him, "How are you so good at driving?" It's like a lot of RC cars and video games, and it's like, well, there are RC cars I can give you.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't know. I've played Robot Wars on the Xbox. I don't think that means I can probably get behind the controls of a robot and work it effectively.
Oh, I mean, he does a good job. Credit.
He does a good, yeah.
And it's a good. It's actually probably one of the better matches.
It also doesn't help the fact that like there was another passing comment Bill made where he's like, "Oh, he bought a robot offline and just slapped a new name on it," and it's like, I mean, see, that's the kind of thing that I say as,
yeah,
you know,
as you're playing an asshole.
But, like, you as, like, as the commentator of this sport shouldn't really be saying that kind of stuff.
Anyway, we finished the first half of the show with a lightweight battle between Carnage Raptor and Whirligig.
Squirrely Whirly.
So it is a hammer thwackbot versus a flail thwackbot.
Yeah.
And this match
this is quite fun.
This match, well, I'm going to get onto that. The first half of this match is fucking dire.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first it's two robots spinning, nowhere
next
near
to
each other, just going, "Go on, attack me." "No, you attack me." And eventually,
"No, you come here."
And what ends up happening is then it's actually Carnage Raptor. Clicks. One, if I put my hammer out, it stops them.
Yeah.
And two, if it gets into a shoving match, I win.
Yep.
So it starts a shoving match.
Oh, and it wins.
Because what ends up, it just is, and it's brilliant to see because you can actually start to see the experience kicking in.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that he's like, he's actually being so deliberate with his driving. He's Carnage Raptor traps Whirligig under the pulverizer. And Whirligig taps out.
Yeah, that was very weird.
You hear them shouting as the pulverizer keeps going, and the guy who operates the pulverizer is playing to the crowd, like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah."
He's gesturing to the crowd, like,
"Stop!
Do you want to see more?"
"No, we don't. Stop hitting. He's already dead."
He just keeps going. It's so funny.
And you can see the Whirligig team's getting so upset.
Oh, they are so mad.
I mean, no wonder. I mean, we actually get at one point to talk about how expensive these robots are. Some of these robots are in the thousands of pound range already, thousands of dollar range already.
Yeah. And this was back in the day.
This is 20 something years ago.
Yeah, when a couple of grand was an expensive robot back in the day. And now a couple of grand apparently isn't anything in nowadays BattleBots.
Well, that's the cheaper robots are $4,000.
Yeah, exactly. As I said, that's probably still like double the amount of like even your most expensive robot, like in these seasons. Robot on a budget, $4,000. If I had $4,000, like I would think I was a millionaire if I had $4,000. But that's a budget to some people.
Yep.
Doing it on the cheap.
Yeah.
So yeah, like as you say, just this. It's right, like in my notes, it says the ref screams tap out, stop hitting him while the lad that does the hammers is just like Lamal, fuck you.
Yeah. So, hi, Alan here. Just taking a quick break from the action. Grizz and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax spelled TEKNOAXE. We then cut to the second half of the episode. So I'm determined to finish this recording today. I'm sorry. We have a returning super heavyweight.
Yay!
And we have a robot we're going to see far too many times, because we're going to see it at all, which is Ogre.
Ogre.
Pretty paint job, very pretty paint job, red and orange, love the paint job. It's a slow push bot.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a push bot, at least be fast, please.
I know, like... Or, it's got the little forks at the front, but they don't seem to do anything.
Well, they seem to be kind of trying the same thing that Dissector and later Lockjaw does. The difference is that those are good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they look like the forks that Panic Attack had in, like, Season 2 of Robot Wars.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's like, it's a big, massive robot, and then it's just, look at these tiny little forks.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anyway.
And Atomic Wedgie has its new weapon, the big, bad, beefy saw.
Oh, this saw's enormous.
But all that doesn't really matter, because the initial blow happens, and then half of Atomic Wedgie's drive goes out. So
what seems to happen, because it looks like Atomic Wedgie basically has three sets of tracks together.
Mm-hmm.
So one set is moving, which is the one at the top of the robot.
Yes.
And the one that's actually touching the ground isn't.
So if it flipped over, it would probably be able to run fine.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, it's clear at this point Atomic Wedgie is immobilized to a point where it can't move, but instead of them just counting Atomic Wedgie out, they let this match go to the finish. So yeah. It's like 2.5 minutes of Atomic Wedgie spinning around on a circle and Ogre just driving into it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, Ogre keeps driving face first into the weapon. So
Ogre's doing huge damage to itself.
Yeah, like, the question is, when the countout specifically happen here? Like, I guess it's just literally when the robot has stopped moving at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, again, this is like a fight that could have been done about 40, 50 seconds in.
Yeah.
But instead... And then, like, the way that the commentators were trying to justify it as well, it's like, oh, well, Atomic Wedgie, we can see that it can't drive very well, but it is trying to keep the weapon constantly pointed at Ogre to try and do some damage.
Which you kind of go, if Ogre loses this match, they must never darken the door of robot combat again.
Mm. If you're... If
you can't win this match... You're doing something bad.
If you can't beat a robot that's spinning around in a circle because you keep driving face first into their weapon all the time, then yeah, I don't, like, it's literally been handed to you on a silver platter. But even the judges decide that Ogre done enough because it got a 37-8 judges decision. So Ogre moves on, and Atomic Wedgie is already gone. That's unfortunate.
Yep.
Like Atomic Wedgie.
So, we next have our returning favourite. Hooray, it's the Frisbee team. Brian Narve. Woohoo! Yay, we love Brian Narve. About as much as James Corden, Piers Morgan, or being castrated by a belt sander.
Unless you're into that sort of thing.
So, yeah.
And the way that the fact that you actually pronounce his name, I'm assuming properly, because that's how it's pronounced now on BattleBots, but in these old seasons, it's pronounced Brian Narve.
I don't care enough to check which one's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we have Frisbee versus Hexadecimator.
Yep, Frisbee versus Hexadecimator. A Hexadecimator, I believe, is a returning robot, a wedge robot with a front flipper. And early on, Frisbee's complete... I want to know, how much of Frisbee do you think is the revolutionist?
I think all of it.
Anyway,
they're roughly around the same time, these seasons, are they not?
Yeah, pretty much, as far as I know.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's just the same robot with a paint job.
Shell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Frisbee does really well, like, in the early going.
Absolutely.
Just... chipping away. It takes off a big chunk off the front of Hexadecimator.
Hexadecimator, Hexy-D is too small. That's the problem. Or too slow, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
It just can't keep up. And then...
Sometimes it just doesn't need to keep up. Sometimes it just needs to be the right place at the right time, which eventually it did.
You actually see the moment. Because what happens, and you can almost see... this moment where Hexadecimator... So, Frisbee starts trying to get into a pushing match. For no... I don't know if the weapon's down at this point. I mean,
lately,
this as, team, as I wouldn't be prone, surprised.
As is prone with many, many, many of their matches.
But they start to... And they kind of start to try and push them around. And you just see Hexadecimator going... Okay. Takes its time to line up the shot... and it gets what? It's not even a good flip. It's like it just barely catches it. You just see Frisbee kind of lazily loll over.
And then it still like spins maniacally on its head. But now
so
obviously.
It could spin. It's not even that the weapon wasn't working.
Yeah, so it proves that it still could spin and it just got caught. Because
which
it decided to try shoving.
Which is
because
worse.
You see the clock in the background. We're about a minute and a half plus into the fight. They were clearly winning. All they needed to do was just prevent from getting flipped.
And what did they do?
They got flipped.
Exactly. I mean, it is. It's just, what on earth?
And like, it's the other bizarre thing of like, if Frisbee or Shredderator, Captain Shredderator, etc., etc. You know, that whole family of spinning robots. If they can keep going through an entire fight, they do have a chance of winning. But they never have a self-writer. Like, I don't know how you could be in this sport.
I don't. It's at this time I could maybe understand, because it's the only robot that seems to have a self-writer at this point of that design is Ziggo.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that's very early in its creation.
Yeah. I don't know, it's just something that I've always kind of wondered, because look, if like a lot of your major losses are just because you just get flipped over because you get caught.
Also, you don't know how much weight they've got to play with as well.
Yeah, I suppose. I'm not thinking about that. Logistics.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, we get a segment on creepy robot dolls with...
the woman talking to the presenter cannot be
she
fucked.
Oh, she is not having a good time. So he is asking stupid-ass questions, to be honest. But oh, she probably got brought in thinking that this is going to be a fun interview to kind of get my product over. And, look at these robot dolls, blah, blah, blah. But then, like, when the interview started and it's just him doing and saying stupid things, she's clearly, very quickly, you could just see in her head, she's just like, this is not going to go how I thought it was going to go.
Nope.
So it's like one question he asked, like, would you be scared if you see one of these standing in your doorway at night while you're in bed? And she's like, no, that is stupid. It's like, oh, okay. You're not up for this.
No. Absolutely not. And why should she be? I mean, that is, it's just...
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I know, because, like, as I say, like, I wouldn't be surprised if she thought that this was going to be a genuine, like, kind of interview to show off her product. And then they were like, oh, no, they're just trying to make a joke out of it. Never mind.
Yep, absolutely.
I thought all this comedy bullshit would have went away with the Sklar brothers. Now I realize how much we actually fucking miss them, because they were half decent.
Oh, yes, we do. Oh.
Spent 3 years shitting on them, and then the second they leave, they were like, oh my god, we didn't know what we had till it left.
Yep, absolutely.
Omega 13 takes on Matador.
Yep, so Matador is Toro's smaller, somehow more powerful brawler. And they established this. Oh, it's got better... It's actually got a better flipper. And you're kind of going, what?
Hmm.
If it's got a better flipper, why is it not in the... Okay, fine.
It looks like early Bronco.
Yeah, it does. It very much looks like early Bronco. I think I'm fairly sure it's the same team.
Yeah, I was actually meant to look into that and kind of forgot. If you're doing it because I can hear typing, then I would appreciate it.
Also, Bronco Toro Battle Bots.
Yeah, so the Matador is... is Reason Bradley and Alexander Rose.
Bronco is... Alexander Rose.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah, it is the same team.
Well, that makes a hell of a lot more sense.
That explains a lot.
Yes.
Omega 13 is now I actually put push. I meant to put pushbot, but I wrote pishbot, and I'm not correcting it.
Yes, I was about. I was about to say, sometimes when you're autocorrects things, but it makes the sentence that you're going to say better. You can't argue. You can't argue at all.
And I have to be quite blunt. This match, right, I'm trying to think of a way to put this. One, it's a weird choice for a main event. I actually would have put the Sun and Waiachi match as the main event. Because then you could, one, use the episode to explain why Son of Waiachi is there, and two, it does have a shock value main event feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Lesnar Goldberg Survivor Series situation.
What the fuck
happened?
Don't you dare bring that match up in my presence.
So anyway, but the match never really gets going. Matador at first just can't get a good flip on Omega.
The thing that I find with Matador is those wheels, like, do not look...
they are skating across the floor, but not gripping anything.
Do you know what those wheels remind me of? It reminds me of Brute from Season 2 of Robot Wars.
Yeah, fair.
And probably the same amount of grip, because yeah, like as you say, it's driving all around the arena, and it's just like, and it goes to turn, and then it just like skids across the arena for about another 3 seconds before it actually turns.
Absolutely. So it goes to a judge's decision, which they don't show, because why the fuck would we show the judge's decision being made? It's more just the guy goes, and your flipper boy wins 25-20.
Yeah, like they don't show any, as far as I remember, they don't show any of the like in arena announcements with the ring announcer and all that. It all just cuts back to the commentator and they just go, and Matador wins 25-20. Anyway, moving on.
And yeah, you just, what the fuck are you doing, boys?
Like, why was you had your setup last season, and then you just threw it all out? Like, it's just so weird this season.
Yeah.
It makes me want to see next season to see whether they would go back to the season 3 setup or if they could remain with this.
So, anyway, we will be back next week. And, well, some good news. Some good news, fellas.
What?
If you like Ziggo, you're going to love next week.
I do love Ziggo.
You're going to love next week. I sure as shit won't. Oh, God, we're gonna die.